Several years ago, when I was working up north of here in the little village of Igglesmere, where I had several accounts with customers up there doing landscape work, I had one particular family, a man and his wife, who lived right beside the Igglesmere toboggan slide. And every spring, one of my jobs before they came to their cottage there was to bring their canoe out of their storage area underneath their house and take it down into the lake and row it around to their dock, and then get their dock ready, put the ladder up so that it was ready when they got there. And on this particular day, I got the canoe out of their storage area, and I pulled it across the lawn and loaded it in the back of my pickup truck, and I was just sure that it was going to stay there, so I didn't tie it. And I drove down the toboggan slide, and if you've ever been there in the summer, you know that this is a paved street that actually goes down and goes right into the lake, and they use it as a boat launch. So as I drove down to the bottom and turned around and started backing down to the lake to unload the canoe into the lake, just as I got to the edge of the water and the tires of my truck reached the edge of the water, I watched in my rearview mirror as the canoe went out into the, just disappeared from the tailgate of my truck, and out in the lake it went some 50 to 75 feet. So I jumped out of my truck and I stood there on the shore, and I remember the helpless feeling I had that morning as I watched the canoe go out into the lake. What am I going to do now? I knew I couldn't walk on that water to run after that canoe. I looked around at the different things that were available. There were other canoes laying there. I thought, I'll just jump in one of those and go after it. I just thought maybe I'd watch it and see where it came ashore. And as I stood there, within 5 minutes, I realized the wind was blowing directly at me, and I watched as the canoe turned with the wind, and the wind blew it right back into the shore within 10 feet of where I was standing. As we find in our text today, the miracle of Jesus walking on the water, we find Jesus doing something incredible to show us his true divinity and his power over the elements. In our text today, we read about this Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee, and this is found in two of the other Gospels, in Matthew and Mark. Jesus was on one of his tours of ministry up in the area of Galilee and to the east of the Sea of Galilee as he went back and forth the upper end of the Sea of Galilee doing ministry, healing the sick, casting out demons, and so forth. John chapter 6 tells us earlier that he was on the far shore, which would have been the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee. Scholars figure it was somewhere around the village of Bethsaida, but this was where he had just previously fed the 5,000. And in verse 15 of John chapter 6, it says that as the people watched this, they came at him intending to make him king by force. So he withdrew from them to a mountain by himself. Our text tells us now evening came, and the disciples went down to the lake, which would have been the Sea of Galilee, where they got into a boat, and they set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. Now, Matthew and Mark say that Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. Mark says they were to go to Bethsaida. Some scholars believe that there was another village called Bethsaida, but most believe that Jesus had told them to go by way of Bethsaida to the other side, to Capernaum. And here John says they were headed for Capernaum, some 5 to 7 miles away. Matthew and Mark say that this happened during the fourth watch of the night, which would have been between 3 and 6 a.m. John just simply says it was dark, and that's important here, that it was dark. We find it was dark, Jesus was not with them, and a strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. Now, they had been in a situation like this before, remember, when they were traveling back and forth across the Sea of Galilee, but in the previous time, Jesus had been with them in the boat sleeping, and they had said to him, "Lord, don't you care? We're going to die here." And he stood up and he says, "Where's your faith?" And he calmed the storm. He was sleeping, but he calmed the storm. But this time he was not with them. And Mark tells us the disciples were straining at the oars, trying to get control of their situation. John goes on to say, when they had rowed 3 to 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. Matthew and Mark say they thought he was a ghost. So here they were, out on the lake, alone, without Jesus, their storm calmer, fighting for their lives, and in a way that they cannot understand or even see clearly at this point, Jesus comes to their aid, and he reminds them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Matthew and Mark say that he told them to take courage, which means to be brave. In Matthew and Mark of the King James Version, it's worded that he says, "Be of good cheer." Now, these men have a problem on their hands. They've rowed 3 to 3.5 miles, they're in a storm, and Jesus says, "Be of good cheer." Not only is their lifeboat out of control, there's a ghost coming at them, there's another problem they have to deal with, and it's a scary situation. How many of us here this morning, when we have a major problem in life, the first thing we think is, "Well, I need to be of good cheer." What do we do? What we all do is we become terrified of the situation, just like these men. And they had been there before, on the same sea in a previous storm of life, and they were terrified then too. It's a natural reaction. You ever felt terrified about a situation in life? We all have. We all feel terrified about the things in life that come at us and happen to us. I'm speaking now from the viewpoint of the average Jane or Joe. I have problems, darkness, even sin in my life. My marriage is on the rocks. I lost my job, lost my dog, my car won't run. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. The doctor called with bad news. The school called because they found grass on my kid and it wasn't on his shoes. I can't stop smoking, can't stop drinking, can't stay off those internet sites. I can't stop spending my money trying to win more. Can't seem to make it to church or make time for God because my calendar's full. I'm so depressed. My life's out of control, and I'm supposed to be of good cheer. I'm supposed to be courageous. I'm supposed to be not afraid. Because Jesus says, "It is I. I'm here. I'm in control." And people ask, "What can Jesus do? What can Jesus do?" And the answer is, if he can walk on water, what can he do? You see, the storm here set the stage for Jesus to reveal himself in their lives, in our lives, as who he really is. And that's the Son of God, the one through whom all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. He becomes our ark when the waters are rising. He becomes our shield when the armies are coming at us. He becomes our rock to kill the giant of a problem in our lives. He becomes our salvation and our shepherd to lead us beside still waters as the Son of God, through whom all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. It's in the storm that we can clearly see Jesus do the impossible, and that's ride above the storm and come to our aid. And we have to let him in the boat if we expect the storm to subside and reach our destination safely. It says, as he came to them, then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Immediately it reached the shore where they were heading. They were no longer in danger. Now, for any who want to explain this great event away, Matthew, first and foremost, tells us that Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water too, but the storm got the best of him, and he sank. Many people like to say, well, they were along the shore, and it was shallow, and it looked to them like Jesus was walking on water. Or there were rocks sticking up, and he was actually walking on the rocks. But I want to remind you folks, it was dark. They had rowed for hours. Jesus had left them. He was back on shore. He not only caught up to them, but he came out to them. If they were close to shore, why didn't he yell out to them? He came, he rose above the storm and came to them in their situation. 4 years ago, our family was vacationing in Maine, and we stayed with my sister-in-law at her cottage on one of the lakes in Maine. And the place where this cottage was situated was back in a little cove, a little tiny cove, and they had a dock that stuck out from the shore. And some 75 feet away or so, there was another dock for the next lot that stuck out. And in between these two docks, the water was probably 2 feet, 3 feet deep. But if you've ever been to Maine, you know what's underneath. It's all these rocks that stick up and boulders that stick up, and you could actually see the bottom. Now, as we were back in this little cove, we were kayaking around from place to place, and my daughter, who at the time would have been 6, was out in a kayak by herself just a few feet off our dock, and the wind started to blow, and it started to blow her out into the lake, and she started screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, save me, help me, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And I said, "Relax, it's okay. You're in a boat. You're not going to go under. Just relax. I'll come and get you." And as I watched, the wind blew her right in between these docks and right safely into the next dock. Now, I don't care who you are. I was not about to jump off that dock and sprint across that water on these rocks that stuck up underneath the water, because I knew where I was going to end up, flat on my face on these rocks. Jesus was not walking on rocks that stuck up under the water. I don't care if he had the physical ability and strength of our athletes today earning 5 or 6 figures. That wasn't what happened. That's not why it's written here. It's written by John to show us Jesus as the Son of God had divine powers over all the elements, over all of the world that had been created through him. He was in control and rose above the storm and said to his followers, "Don't be afraid. It's I. I'm here. I'm in control." It was dark. It was stormy. They were already 3 to 3.5 miles, several hours out, and along came Jesus to them. Not on rocks, not on skis, not in a boat, but walking on the water. He covered the distance. He came into their presence, and he calmed their situation. Nothing could separate them from their Savior. And I think right away, isn't that interesting? That's exactly what Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote to the Romans in chapter 8. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." You ever feel like life's just literally slaughtering you? Paul says, "No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." He's not just up there sitting off in the distance, watching us go down into destruction. He comes and rises above the storm to our aid. It was dark. They felt alone. They felt terrified. Life was rough. Have you ever felt like that? We can identify. And you see, when Jesus came on the scene, though, when Jesus came on the scene, everything changed. The situation changed, their attitudes changed, and the end result changed. Jesus has that effect. But he's not going to come forcefully. He's not going to pound his way in. You have to be willing to take him into the boat. And that's the hard part, isn't it? That's the hard part. We can't seem to believe that a Galilean carpenter can work miracles and do the impossible. You see, the true purpose of Jesus was not to be made an earthly king by force, was not to be the head of our little organization and give us some kind of status. Jesus came to be a personal king with us, in our boat, to calm us and take charge of our troubled lives and guide us through the stormy seas to the tranquil shores on the other side where we can spend eternity with Him. But without Him, without the Son of God, the miracle worker, we're just simply going to be straining at the oars on our own. Until we take courage, surrender our control, and say, "Jesus, take the wheel," we will never know true peace and direction in our lives. And when we surrender, He comes to us and He says to us, "Don't be afraid. It's I. I'm here. The Son of God has come, the one who can do the impossible." And Paul says, through Him, we are more than conquerors.